Welcome to Lending Forward, a podcast where we're lending every bit of what we know to our listeners. From real conversations and lessons learned deep within the industry to education and forward thinking. Together, we're lending forward. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our channels and connect with us on www.atlanticbay.com. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSConsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 203, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23452. Welcome to another episode of Lending Forward. Back again with us is Dr. Bruce from 90 Day Sales Manager. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me. Anytime you get invited back, you know, it's always a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always good. I mean, people love hearing from you. And it's kind of crazy. You were in Virginia Beach not too long ago. What was it for?
It was for the Virginia MBA, the Virginia Mortgage Bankers Conference.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure a ton of our folks were there. But we met down in Atlanta, I don't know what, 3 or 4 months ago. And then now you've been all over the US coaching and mentoring. So tell us kind of, since we've heard from you, how the last few months have been.
Well, I don't want to date this, although we are kind of dating it, right? Evergreen podcasts and stuff like that. But it is conference season, you know, September, October. And I don't know, I'm more in demand, which is always great. But like, I don't remember it being like just so many conferences back to back to back to back to back. So yeah, it's been a lot of travel from West Coast to East Coast back to West Coast, but it's fun. You know, like I just love more than anything getting out there and teaching, having that heart of a teacher approach and just getting to hang out. Like, and you know this, when you really get ingrained in the mortgage space, the housing and banking space, your clients become friends. And that's when it really does become fun for sure. Too much fun, probably in some cases, right?
Sometimes, but that's good. It's a good thing. I mean, you're building relationships, right? That's so right. Spending that time and enjoying yourself is definitely needed. And I think people just are yearning for that. You say it's so conference heavy right now. And I think more so now, mainly because we're coming out of the skirts of COVID, but also because right now, I think people need that interaction and we need that education so badly. So speaking of education, help us learn a little bit more about those habits that we kind of touched on.
Yeah. So we had touched on habit number one, which really does set the stage for all four other habits, right? Because it is the compound effect. Habit one leads into habit two, leads into habit three, into four, into five. So, you know, we touched on habit number one, which is really all about your marketing message. And think of the first habit as really overcoming the commodity trap. So of course, we have a full session on that one if people want to go back through and watch that. But you know, there's one thing that I want to touch on, Taylor, that you just said there, like talking about going into conference season and, you know, like we need that interaction and talking about what's going on in the industry. And one of the main messages that I have for people right now is how to build, maintain, and protect your confidence, right? Because now more than ever, we have to build up our confidence and then we have to maintain it. And then of course, we have to protect it every single day. And the conversation that I'm having with a lot of my coaching clients and the companies that I work with is, do you see your work as the distribution channel for your talents? And what I mean by that is, do you truly see your work as a vocation versus an occupation, right? Like this has to be your career during challenging times. And so that's really what I'm helping people focus on is there's something I get from Taylor that I can't get from anybody else. Like your free prize, it could be certain talents or skill sets. You know, you have that likability about you. And so it really is like helping people see that now as, okay, now because of this talent that I have, I just need to go out and distribute it to the world. And whether or not I go produce at the level that I was producing at previously, like to me, none of that matters. You know, just stay focused on the mortgage banking space being your career and seeing it as your voice or calling in life, and all the other stuff will take care of itself. You know, I just see so many people right now wrestling with that, or like, is this my career? Or is this, you know, like it's just as hard to go relaunch, right, you know, your entire life and an entire business. So if this is your career and you do see it as your vocation, stay the course, stay the path.
Yeah. I think people, tough times lead to that, right? People are starting to self-doubt. And you said it, if you lead with like what you know and your expertise and you show why someone should choose you, that's always the way to go. And don't quit just because it's hard. Yeah, sure, it's hard right now, but that's what makes you a better mortgage banker. You know, that's what's going to make you a better, just your talent. You just flex that muscle and that's what will get you, but it will prevail, right?
That's right.
I appreciate that. I think people do need to hear it right now. It's really important. It is hard right now, but I think I hear it time and time again. It's often like the fundamentals are still the same. You know, always. It is harder. There are prospects everywhere. It's just, how do you look at those? How do you look at your day and set yourself up for success instead of it being like, oh man, you know, I got to go coach people on what's happening with the rates and how to explain everything. And they're all worried. And it's like, no, just go at it from, okay, I'm ready. I got to hop on the phone. I know I'm going to get through all these calls. I'm going to make sure I'm prospecting and having some structure in your day. So purpose is everything.
Yep. Well, you said the tough times, right? Tough times don't last. Tough people do. That's the affirmation that I really have people writing down every single day. We were talking off camera about meditation and, you know, like for me, it's those are the affirmations and, you know, during spending 5 to 10 minutes, just getting your mind ready for what your body has to do every single day.
Yeah. Athletes have to train. You see that, right? Like it's on TV, you know, so you see what they're up against. You see how they have to do it every single day. But what you don't see, no one's following a mortgage banker around like, wow, she's really flexing that muscle again. That's important, is to practice and continue to like really work on your pitch and your why. And you said being confident, it's like, yeah, you're awesome. That's what makes you, you know? And so lead with that is so, so important. So let's talk a little bit more about diving into the other habits.
We probably get into the habits, right? Yeah, like otherwise we're going to talk all day. So yeah, absolutely.
We could talk all day.
No, I know. That's why it's always fun to do these. Yeah. So the other four habits, and just to kind of give everyone an overview, the first three habits are all about your sales systems, right? So I interchange the word habits with systems. Mm-hmm. So of course we talked about habit number one, your opportunity statement, turn your pitch or your beliefs into money. Avoiding the commodity trap, really having that marketing message, but tying it individually into why you do what you do based on your unique past. So we covered that one. Habit number two then of the sales process does get into proactive prospecting. And again, I'm not dogging on people in the industry, but over the last 2 years, you know, I'm at all these conferences and the stats tell us 2020 and 2021 were the best that we've ever had it. And people literally just woke up and reacted, right? Because we had so much incoming demand coming in, which is what we all want for sure. Right. Well, now coming into it in 2022 and 2023, it really is, I'm seeing a lot of people kind of struggling with proactively prospecting and what that means. And, you know, the analogy that I remember hearing, and I don't remember where it came from, so I can't even give credit to it, but, you know, it's like the whole adage of, well, if you're going to be a loan officer, you're going to have to go out and talk to real estate agents, right? And again, like during the last couple of years, people got away from that. But the analogy is, you know, you can't open up a bar if you don't expect to deal with some drunks.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like that, this is just part of the deal, guys. Like you have to go out there and you do have to get back to taking coffee appointments with realtors and helping them and all that kind of stuff. So proactively prospecting, proactive simply means to cause something to happen versus reacting and waiting for it to happen. So I teach a selling system, 10 categories of people. For purposes of time, we don't have time to go through all 10 categories. But what I have learned is 65% of people don't have a CRM. 95% of people don't have a selling system.
Wow.
And so that's really where, you know, like being proactive in your prospecting. When I moved from Nashville to Denver to launch my business, I didn't know anybody. But within the first year, I had 1,500 people in my database organically because I had a selling system. Wow. But most importantly for habit two, it's all about the helpless. Like that's the mindset. Like that's one of the categories of the 10 is, hey, I think I can help you based on this, this, and this. So who are those target markets and those segments of people? It can't just be, oh, you're a real estate agent. Let's talk. You know, it has to be a very set of criteria. It might be the fact that they work at Keller Williams or EXP or whichever company. Maybe you've had a lot of success working with agents like that. You know, maybe you've had a lot of success working with real estate agents who used to be teachers and now they're real estate agents, right? But, you know, getting very specific about the filter of people you want to go get in front of. And then from there, because you have proof of concept with working with other agents just like them, it becomes a whole lot easier. You know, we've all heard there are riches and then niches. You can't be all things for all people. So go out there and really attract the right people into your life through that habit number one. And then from there, it's just a matter of initial contact, setting the appointment, preparing for the appointment, conducting the appointment. So like you said earlier, foundation fundamentals, but business, it's simple on paper, but it's not easy because there are so many steps that go into that. So that's really the habit number two. Yep.
I think habit number two is something that between being proactive and follow-up, I think those two are big missed opportunities sometimes. And I was listening to an episode from Dave Savage on his YouTube channel, and he had Dale Vermillion on, and I spoke about it on Instagram today, but they talked out how you can build into your day proactively calling, outbound calling people every day instead of like a fluke one-off Wednesday, actually saying, every morning I'm going to pick up the phone before I even check my emails. And he even said this. He said, emails typically are bad news.
Yep.
But if you can get on the phone and spend 20 minutes every single day calling folks, you know, it doesn't have to be a long drawn out call, but at least it's not fluke and you're actively doing it every day. So you're obviously having that pitch down, right? That we know is so important because you're doing it. You're practicing every day that pitch and you're going to get a yes, you're going to get a no, and you're going to get a, you can't approve them, right? So there's all that. And I think that proactive approach is so, so, so important. I do want to ask you one question to kind of bring it back to when you said prospecting and proactively reaching out to agents. You mentioned it, the last few years, things have been a little bit difficult because we never had to reach out to them. Refis were falling out of the sky. What would you say for mortgage makers who are like, yeah, I have not reached out to that agent in a long time. And so they're like a little apprehensive to do so. How do you coach them out of that mentality?
Yeah, it was funny. I had a coaching call on this yesterday and it was this exact conversation. And I mean, I just believe in transparency. Number one, you know, maybe just apologizing. Like, listen, it got crazy the last couple of years. We lost contact. I completely take full responsibility for that, right? But I just believe in engagement through education. So getting back into my opportunity statement, train people always outperform untrained. So, you know, sending them your favorite book, you know, maybe sending them an article or something like that that you've read that you think would help them grow their business and just starting that way. So, you know, that's part of my initial contact a lot of times, especially after I have the first conversation with somebody. But what's stopping you from just sending them that? Maybe it's a handwritten note like, hey, I apologize. It's been kind of crazy the last couple of years. You were on my mind because of this. You know, here's a great book. And then you can follow up with them about that gift of, hey, did you receive my package kind of a thing? It really does come down to personality. I think we're all different, you know, so it has to be natural and authentic to you. But that's how I coach people, right? Number one, just authenticity and being genuinely honest about what's going on over the last couple of years. And then number two, you know, like I'm big into events. So I'm constantly hosting events and attending events. So a lot of times just reaching out to them, hey, I'm going to go watch this ball. It's Monday Night Football. Like there's always something going on. And so just even inviting them to, hey, I don't know if you have plans tonight. It's been a while. You know, I'm getting a few people together for a happy hour to watch the game. There's a lot of different things that you could do, but you know, I do think it needs to be authentic to you, but you know, being fully transparent with them as well.
Yeah, I love that. And I do think that leading with the, you know what, it's on me. I know I haven't reached out, taking that ownership a little bit of that. I think that humbleizes you a little bit and it makes you look as if, you know, you do care. And I'm not so boastful to say, you know, I am sorry, you know, hey, call a spade, right? I like the transparency. I think that's very, very important. So after habit number two, lead us into habit number three.
Yep. Perfect. And then real quick note, I wanted to mention a habit too, like the word prospecting. A lot of people, because we talked about being proactive, the word prospecting, so many people like immediately get like clammy hands.
Yeah.
And it's like, stop, like remove the pressure from like what prospecting is. And like prospecting simply is just reaching out. You know, you're not doing a one call close, you know, like especially when it comes to a big time real estate agent. So just understand that's not what this is. You know, you're just trying to engage to get that first meeting. You're making that initial contact to eventually sit down with them. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make that point. Okay. But yeah, habit number three, getting into the last sales part of this is you had mentioned the follow-up, right? The fortune is always in the follow-up. So once you've had that meeting with insert real estate agent or financial planner or whomever, consumer, whoever it is, right? The fortune is always in the follow-up. And so I call it your Fight Club follow-up. So that's another category in my selling system. But once I've met with somebody, they fit my filter. So there's three things. Do they fit my filter? Meaning I want to work with them. Number two, are they a motivated buyer? Meaning they have business to send to me. And then number three, am I really good at what I do? And if the answer is yes to all three of those, then it's your duty to fight to earn the business. And what I have just learned though, most people don't follow up and follow through. Again, getting back into the CRM, it's crazy how quickly time flies by. You know, you could have a meeting and then it's been a week later or 2 weeks later and you didn't follow through on something you said you're going to do. And now you feel like a bozo because of that, right? And, or you follow up and you say something like this, can I answer any more questions, right? You are on my list of people to call today. Yeah, like my personal favorite, the creepiest I've ever done personally. Like I woke up today thinking about you. I said that to a woman once and she was like, what? You know, so like this is, we all need a follow-up system and follow-up again, getting back into confidence. It's just permission for you to engage with other people. So that is the third and final part of it is how are you fighting to earn the business? You know, what is that touch with value? And just understanding the lead lag time. Again, it could be 90 days, it could be 6 months, it could be a year. You know, I have deals that are just now coming together, and it's been over 3 years since I've just been bumping and nudging and consistency and staying involved in their lives. So that third, like, as we all know, the fortune is in the follow-up. So how are you fighting to earn the business?
Yeah. And a lot of time, and I said it, you know, it is a missed opportunity, a very fallen opportunity. It's not just on us, it's on agents sometimes too. And it's everything can be very transactional for borrowers, but as well as agents, like, yeah, you got that meeting. Now what? You know, then you had the meeting. Okay, now what? So I think if you've got that in place, some sort of structure in place, again, I know I keep, that's the second time I've said structure, but it's true because a lot of times mortgage bankers and people in sales in general don't necessarily have a ton of structure in their day. You know, I've heard the term, my hair's on fire. And I'm like, is that how? I don't want to lead my life with my hair on fire. I kind of want to have some structure because I do think that if you set those habits in place, I think that it will gain, from my experience, even if it's just working out or it's just one thing that you can just start to put into your life, continue to do it, build that habit, and then it just becomes second nature. And like you said, maybe 3 years from now, maybe 6 months from now, some deals will shake out because of it. It's just a matter of making sure you start to implement more and more into your day to where you're like, okay, this is going to reap benefits. I just have to continue to do it.
Yeah. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. That's the mindset that I'm always in. You know, again, there might be a top real estate agent. They already have their top five lenders. Maybe one of them is like their best friend. Well, maybe that best friend gets out of the industry at some point. You know, like, that's that consistency. We don't know. Sales is simply a game of probability. All we're trying to do is increase the probability of when that happens. You're the first person they think about for that opportunity.
Exactly. And that's what we strive to be. So, all right, lead us into four.
Okay. So eventually what happens then is you earn the business, right? You earn that deal, whether it's the consumer side or the B2B side where they send you that referral. And so from there, it's habit number four is all about that customer experience. So I call it your new client onboarding process. You know, my company's called 90 Day Sales Manager, so I'd run everything in 90 day increments. But you know, once you get that first deal, what is that 90 day onboarding process? And how do you be transformational in a transactional world, right? Because I'm not naive to think every single person that comes into our life, every single person that comes to my coaching business, they're going to be transformed. Right. But that should not stop me from trying. Yeah. And that's the mindset that I'm in, right? Like, over 90 days, I want to be transformational in a transactional world. I want to be world-class at what I do. And after those 90 days, if they're not a promoter or an advocate for me, that's fine. You know, it's not shame on me because I did everything that I should have done. Mm-hmm. But that is the end goal, is I do want to take every new client and convert them to a promoter and into an advocate, right? A promoter says good things when solicited, and advocate's your biggest cheerleader that's out there. And if you can get 25 big time advocates, especially that are on the B2B side, like, life is good. It's so much fun in that process. But you know, when you look at the 90-day onboarding process, I just build in, and this isn't really original, but I just build in the five love languages by Dr. Gary Chapman, right? So over those 90 days, if you want to do all five, you can. If you want to pick a couple of them, you can, right? But how are you, you know, truly being engaged, not just a drip campaign or whatever it is. And I'm not just talking about, we need these documents or update calls, but truly like gifts and words of affirmation and quality time and acts of service and physical touch. And I just preface physical touch as like, when you're with them, be with them, right? Don't have your phone in your hand.
Yeah, be present. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So I just build out my 90-day onboarding process exactly that way, where I want to do a few of those touches, if not all of those. And if we do that properly, again, like benchmarks, habits, there are three rewards that we should get. We should get referrals, we should get reviews, and we should get retention of the business. You know, it really is that simple. So that's the benchmark. Anytime that I get a new client that signs up for my program, for instance, same thing in everybody's business. Yeah. Like, that's the end goal. Over 90 days, I want to convert you either into a promoter or an advocate. And what does that really mean? And defining that to them on the front end. So I define that to them. Like, this is what a promoter means. This is what an advocate means. You know, on the front end, this, and Taylor, this is crazy because we know this, but you know, the number one reason why people don't refer their real estate agent is they don't remember their name. Oof. Like, it's crazy to me. And on the front end, what does everybody say? I want to be there every step of the way. You know, like, this, I'm your realtor for life, your loan officer for life. And then 6 months goes by, and it's just human nature where, and especially in sales, we're always windshield shopping. We're always on to that next deal versus nurturing. You know, every one deal could be worth five additional deals. That's the mindset that I'm in.
Yeah, that's huge. I have a few things I want you to unpack here. So we all know that there's so many different opportunities to ask for more business from your current leads, right? Your lead source right now. So if you have, you know, a borrower what points in the process are you asking, hey, do you know a few people? And how do you ask the question? Because I know the people have to. They have to do it. They have to start doing it. Yeah. How do we do it?
Again, I think this is kind of your personality style. I do believe in habits and benchmarks. I would say at least twice. Mm-hmm. Once at the very beginning, you let them know, I want to do such an amazing job that you're going to want to replace yourself with somebody else just like you by the end of this. Right. So I kind of let them know on the front end. Again, I define this is what a promoter means. This is what an advocate means.
Yeah, well, explain those. I want to hear.
Yeah, I think of it this way, right? So if I'm going out to Virginia Beach and I get on Facebook and I post on there, you know, what are some great bars or restaurants for me to go to in Virginia Beach? Mm-hmm. Well, what's going to happen? People are going to get on my Facebook feed and say, you should go here, 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 here. There's going to be a bunch of comments that are on there. An advocate sees that post and they see all the different people that are placed, but they call me and say, you, out of all the places, you have to go here. Which one's going to, right? The advocate's going to win. Yep. So I look at it, you know, promoters keep you in business, right? Promoters are going to always help you stay in business, but the advocates are really going to go out there and blow up your business and make it a whole lot more fun. So that's how I define it. And again, like, I'm not naive to think every single person, every borrower or every referral partner is going to be a promoter or an advocate, but I'm trying to convert them into that. So I just define what that is on the front end. And then obviously every step of the way, you're just checking in to make sure that you are communicating properly and they know what's going on and you're onboarding them. And then that way, you know, maybe there's a time there in the middle, like the whole, you know, clear to close, that's a great time to ask for a referral, right? Because they're in a good mood.
Yeah.
You know, at the closing table, that's another good time. So I build in kind of three parts, I would say, within that process. Once at the very front, and again, educating them, you know, like the reticular activator, you don't have to get like that scientific with them, but letting them know what typically happens when somebody starts the home buying process is you're going to know two or three or four or five other people now who are going to ask you about that. Mm-hmm. And of course, when they ask you about that, please do send them my way.
Right.
You know,
I think that we're not doing enough of that. I think that it should be something that you've put in place immediately. And our goal as mortgage bankers, if we're trying to build those client for life, you want to impact their lives so boldly that they would never go another way, you know? Yep. So I think that's important. And then in turn, with your follow-up, keep interweaving transparency into that. I think that, you know, what better way to continue to send them text messages along the way, video text messages, and then putting the agent on there too. Because what white glove service is that? It's like, wow, that, you know, that mortgage banker just sent Joe Schmo, who's in the process of getting approved or whatever, a video explainer saying what's going to happen next or, you know, congratulations, like, and then tagged me on it too, because that is just such a next level of care. I mean, I truly think like that's somebody I would trust you because you keep coming to me saying, here's what you're going to expect. And like you're holding their hand, but also giving them the experience that, you know, it's a huge experience. I think it should be looked at as an experience and not a transaction. What you've said, I think, is very, very impactful. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And then, you know, just to compound on all this is you can automate some of this stuff. And what I mean by that is you can do the evergreen videos, right? Like, well, this is what this means. Right. And I want to introduce you if you have a team. So we have like 8 different templates, but you know, a lot of my coaching clients will actually, they'll do evergreen videos that way.
And so you have to build out the library. Build your library out.
Yep.
So let's dissect that because I've got a ton of mortgage bankers that listen to this, right? You said it. So you build out these 8. Okay. So let's just give them some quick little ideas that we can run with.
Yeah. So for instance, this goes back to habit number one. So the first video could simply be your opportunity statement. So I just wanted to, you know, share with you what I believe and why I believe it, why I do what I do. Right. So that's just a quick introductory into you, the loan officer. And then from there, you know, obviously there's going to be the steps of the way of the actual process where you're asking for certain documents, the milestones within the process. But, you know, like thinking outside the box, I even have them introduce their insurance agent, you know, so that's another great, you know, connector meeting. Like what's one of the first things that holds up a deal is, you know, that side of it, you know, so introducing them to, you might already have somebody. If not, here's my person. Well, now that builds goodwill with your insurance agent as well. Same thing with the realtor. There's just a bunch of little steps like that. Again, if you have a team, introducing them to your team member, you know, this is what this means. You can almost never over communicate. You can't assume anybody really knows anything about that process. Taylor, I go back to when I bought my first home all the way back in Nashville, Tennessee, you know, like probably 10 years ago now. But I just remember like I was using a friend, but And like I was, I didn't know what the heck was going on. And then I immediately get passed on to like a team member. And I'm like, is my home not worth enough for you? Like right. my little, you know, $150,000 condo or whatever, right. in like my townhouse. And so that was just how I felt versus him just explaining, this is just part of that process.
Right.
You know, yeah. So it really is like common sense isn't always common practice.
I know. And people need to look at it like it can be fun. I mean, again, look at it as an experience. And so how would you want to be portrayed, right? Like Cindy from Ops is now reaching out. Well, I wish I would have known who Cindy was before. And I think she's working with Taylor, you know, so having that introduction and not leaving any room for not discrepancy, but just them pondering, like, is this coming from the same person I'm trying to work with, you know? That's so right. As long as you can streamline things, I think that's the best way to go. All right. How are we wrapping it up with number five?
We are wrapping it up with number five, which really to me has become one of the most important habits, which is what I call your status cells, right? Like people use the first person they talk to 67% of the time. Motivated buyers use the first person they talk to 67% of the time. That is marketing 101. And I coach people in today's world. Self-promotion isn't evil. It's necessary. If you need my permission to go out there and self-promote yourself because you are really good at what you do, then please go out there and do that, right? Because there's a lot of people in the business who are transactional, who are not as good as what you are. And money follows attention. Money follows activity. Money follows circulation and purpose and movement and energy and confidence and all of those things. So don't just go do it to be a person of interest. And this is where I kind of rip on real estate agents like, hey, look at me. I'm an Instagram model, but I'm also a real estate agent. What I mean by this is be a person of influence, right? Engage through education. So as long as you just consistently educate, this is what's going on in the market. These are events that are coming up in my life. These are things that are going on in my life. Like these are things that are going on in our community. These are frequently asked questions that I get. But, you know, how are you engaging through social media and overcoming video reluctance? You know, that's a big topic right now that we all talk about. And listen, I speak for a living. I speak on stages in front of thousands of people. I do podcasts like these all the time. I have thousands of videos inside of my training platform, and I still hate doing videos.
Right.
All right. So it's just part of the deal though. And so the mindset that I have to overcome when I do those videos is it's not about me. It's about the other person that needs to hear that message.
Right.
And if people out there are looking for information, which they are, they're going to find it from somewhere. If they are already in your database, they know you, like you, trust you, respect you, then it should come from you. And if they go find that information from somebody else, that's not shame on them. That's shame on you. So that's the mindset that I really want everybody to understand. Like self-promotion isn't evil. It's necessary. Focus on being a person of influence to your database. Listen, people are going to unsubscribe from you. That's fine. People are going to maybe mute you on social media. That's completely fine. It's so natural for us to focus on, you know, I send out typically two email blasts per week. Okay. One on Mondays because I do a Monday accountability call. It's completely free. Mm-hmm. So any of you that are on this podcast, you can go to 90daysales.com/MAC and you can register for any of my Monday accountability calls. Okay. Completely free.
Nice.
And then I do a Friday podcast of my own that I blast out. Okay. But it's natural for me to do what? Every time I go blast it out, instead of me looking at the engagements and the click-throughs and all that, I go focus on the unsubscribes. We have to overcome that. That's going to happen. Anytime you go out there and you put yourself out there, you're going to get haters, you're going to get criticism, and that's perfectly okay. So just focus on education and engagement through that and being a person of influence, and good things will happen, you know, along the way.
I love that. This was awesome. I think there's so much goodness here, and I'd love to unpack the 10 different strategies you have that we can do that on another one. But I think people right now, they needed to hear this. They need to build in these habits, and it's not doable. You know, just start. You just got to start.
Yep. Well, hey, Taylor, really quickly. So there was something on the status sales part that I wanted to talk about because we talk about database so much, right? And this is where companies sometimes don't like me, but I have a podcast called The Solopreneur Movement, right? So everybody that I coach, I treat you as a solopreneur. So, mm-hmm. you know, even Taylor works at Atlantic Bay. I get it. That's part of the business that you choose to work with. But I tell people, like, it's your database. Like, don't wait for your company to send out automated messages on your behalf. I just believe that everybody should send out at least a monthly newsletter to their database. Mm-hmm. Again, it could be, this is what's going on in the market. This is what's going on in my life. This is what's going on in the community. But please do treat it as if it was your database and not just the company's database. Like, I just want to make that point because people think like email marketing is dead. Like, it is still very important. It's such an easy way to stay engaged and in front of your people. So sorry if that gets you in trouble or anybody else in trouble, but it's such an important point, I think.
I know. I think so. Automation is nice, But you also have to add that human touch to it as well. And when I say that, I mean, how easy is it for you to do a quick 15-second video in BombBomb and interweave that into your, you know, automated CRM happy holidays from you and your team? Yep. So just seeing your face, you'd be so surprised to know how much just seeing your face instead of a quick little like happy holidays card kind of thing. It's a world of a difference and it brings you back to life. What was a transaction you did 2 years ago or something? This way it's like, oh wow, look, she looks like she's aged a little, but she looks good. Happy holidays, you know? Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's
well,
funny.
I appreciate you being on Lending Forward again. For sure. So thank you. Our people will love this.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been great to get to know you over the past few months and of course the company. So big shout out to Tom as well.
Oh, Tom Correa. Tom's awesome.
I always feel like I butchered Tom's last name, but
oh, Correa.
You know, I met Tom over a year and a half ago at the, I believe it was the Florida MBA, and he's become a good friend. So I appreciate him as well.
Well, good. We appreciate you. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to the Lending Forward podcast powered by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. Don't forget to tune in next week and make sure you subscribe to our channel. Remember, we all play a part in lending forward. So go lend something forward today.